Welcome to AI Minds, the podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow being built AI first. I am your host, Demetrios, and in this episode, it is brought to you by DeepGram, the number one speech-to-text and text-to-speech API on the internet, trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, the one where you listen to your music, Twilio, NASA, and Citibank. Today, we are joined by none other than Lauren, the co-founder of Whisper Transcribe. How you doing, man?
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. I'm excited to be on a podcast and tell a little bit about how we use DeepGram in our small startup and what our startup is to start out with.
Before we get into all that fun stuff, let's start with your story. How did you get into tech?
So I'm originally from Austria, but decided quite early on to move to the Netherlands and actually study something a bit unrelated, economics. Sometimes I wish I could go back and actually study computer science, software engineer, or something like this. I do think it's something that helps you as a founder. Luckily, I have a great co-founder that helps us with all the technical things. And together we built Whisper Transcribe. He really focuses on the technical implementation. We do it a bit like the product together, and I fill in all the other parts of what is needed to make this a success.
Wait, just real fast, let me back up for a second, because you moved from Austria to the Netherlands, studied business, got out of school, and jumped right into the startup life?
So I still did have a bit of like an in-between stop. I thought, all right, so I've missed out on studying computer science. So what's the next best option? And there is one of the market leaders in low-code software development sitting in Rotterdam. They're called Mendix. And that was kind of my first stop. I thought, all right, if the road to computer science is a bit too long, then maybe I can kind of like fast track it by working for a low-code provider. And that's what I did for a bit over 2 years. And then COVID hit, and I thought now is the time to try this out myself and see what kind of business I can start.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the inspiration. COVID hit, you realized you wanted to do something on your own. Were you throwing around a bunch of different ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably a lot of the listeners might be familiar with like Peter Levels and his kind of like 12 months, 12 ideas, 12 startups kind of framework. So I've been doing that for around a year. And kind of the second part of the year, I already joined forces with one of my old comrades from my studies and now co-founder Albert. And we started just building some smaller projects together. And then really, I think things changed as like the whole generative AI part really hit the market, first with like the old Stable Diffusion, where we did some projects, some smaller projects in like the image creation space. And then I think that really like led into the whole Whisper Transcribe startup. I can give you a bit of a background of how that came to be, actually, because yes. I was sitting in a co-working space and we were working on one of our like image startup ideas just to see and test if that's something that's working. And whilst I was speaking to people, I noticed there was one journalist that was actually still transcribing by hand. Recently we had also played around with some of the transcription models, starting with OpenAI model, so the OpenAI Whisper. We just saw how much time and money still people spend on just transcribing simple text. And that's why we shifted our focus, just because this was such a clear value adds to so many people that were directly around us. And the initial idea came from building a wrapper around the OpenAI Whisper API, just because it was still, or actually even now, still is something that's not super accessible to a lot of people. Because if you want to use the OpenAI Whisper model, you either need to run it on your own machine, which requires a lot of computing power, or you need to plug into the API. And I know you guys also offer like a Whisper implementation, which is great. Yeah, the alternative is, of course, to go to OpenAI directly. But either way, you need to have some developmental skills. So you need to be able to like interact with that API. And that was our first prototype of the idea, and also Whisper Transcribe, where we built a desktop app, which was really just a wrapper around the OpenAI Whisper API. We started selling that as like a license, like just a one-time payment, launched it on Product Hunt, and really saw first traction, made like the first $1,000 by just selling licenses. But then did realize, hey, if we like, you know, just the transcription is actually not all that people need. It's quite powerful to combine it with large language models and have on the one hand, like the transcription, and on the other hand, really create content from the transcription. So that's where we are at now. And we really integrate with obviously like DeepGram, which is a really been a game changer for us, because it offers speaker recognition. So we can really provide very cheap, very accurate, and very fast transcripts. And then on the content generation side, we use GPT-4, we've been working a lot with different prompts to really create awesome content for all content creators. So regardless of whether you're a podcaster or whether you're like a YouTube creator, you can plug in your audio or your video into our app, and it will generate summaries, blog posts, show notes, titles, and it's really a little bit like a small ChatGPT, but then for your own content. So that's a bit the story of how we started with Whisper Transcribe, and also like the steps we've taken since then to really continue to build it and to add more value to help creators, yeah, create content faster.
Okay, so let me break this down real fast, see if I'm following you. 2020 hit, you decided you wanted to go out on your own, do something. And after messing around with a few ideas, you were trying, what, one idea a month after the inspiration from Peter Levels, who, for those that do not know, is a famous personality on Twitter who is very big in, I think, the indie hacking community and making different products and not having to go out and raise VC money and do it in a way that you need to hire a big team. It's more solopreneur type style things. And so you were inspired by that, and you created the Stable Diffusion type, or you created a product that was leveraging the image creation tools like Stable Diffusion, because that was hot and that had come out. And when you were in a co-working spot, you realized, wait a minute, there's some cool things that we can do with this image creation, but what's probably more of a pain for a lot of people is just transcribing things. And what was it? You were working next to a journalist and you saw that this person wasn't able to transcribe what they were doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like, I watched someone transcribe a whole interview by hand and spent like, I don't know, 2-3 hours on like one interview to just get a transcript. And I thought, all right, there must be a better way, especially with all the advances in like AI transcription models. And that was really like it kind of what kicked all of this off.
Yep. So then launched on Product Hunt, saw initial traction, saw people were liking it and asking for it. And you're like, hey, wait a minute, there's might be something here. So let's go deeper in it. And that's when the product journey really, I think, probably started to unfold for you. And you started to recognize that we can add a lot more to this rather than just transcribe. Because if you're just doing transcribe, yeah, that's great. But what is the differentiating factor? other than it's easier than sending it to the OpenAI API or the DeepGram API or whatever. And so then you thought, we're going to go after the creator niche. Is that how you landed on it? And how did you land on the creator niche to try and go after that specific slice?
Yeah, so indeed, we are currently really going after the creators and also companies that are creating content. And the reason why we've landed on that side is just because I think there is, they can leverage at the one hand the transcript, but they also get a lot of value out of creating content. So a lot of these podcasters or content creators employ a small team of people just to create content from their existing audio or video. So this would be a blog post or like to continue to post on like Twitter, Instagram, to write the show notes so you can add it to your Spotify. So all these things, they are a lot of work, and we have found that we can reduce that work by a lot. I mean, like the, maybe the last final touch still makes sense if someone from that podcast production team does that. But we really save like 90% of the time that you would have to spend previously to create all that content. And that's really also what our vision is going forward, that we don't only want to concentrate on that written content, but we also want to continue to grow and add value to these content creators by adding video content to this whole flow, so that you can, in our app, like with the help of large language models, figure out what are the most engaging parts of your audio or of your video, and that we help you create like small videos for TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram, etc. So to really be that one place for creators to repurpose content. And all of it, of course, with the help of AI.
One thing that I've noticed is there are a considerable amount of people that are attacking this problem set, right? How do you look at differentiating yourself from the competition?
Yes. So like the way we see this is that going forward, a lot of these models will become significantly cheaper. So like our current like philosophy is that we will provide the highest value, even if that means like we don't have the highest profit margins. So what we see a lot of competitors do, like they use cheaper large language models to create the content. So GPT 3.5 or like some of the Facebook models that they self-host, which creates worse content, but of course is a lot cheaper. We do use GPT-4 to create all our content, which we find works a lot better, especially if you have specific requirements. So like within our app, you can actually also use it similar to ChatGPT, give it an example of what your tweets usually look like, and then ask it to create 5 additional tweets in the same kind of like language and in the same kind of style as your previous tweets. And that really helps differentiate our service from what a lot of the competitors do, which still only offer, I guess, like cheaper AI models. So that's one part of differentiating that we do at the moment. The second part is we have different to actually all of our competitors. We have like a desktop app that has the advantage that all your files are actually your files. So they live on your computer. We don't save any of your files. A lot of times, obviously, like the audio is something that's personal or maybe not something that you want to share with any third party. So we do all of this on your machine, or save it at least on your machine. And that helps us to be a bit more privacy focused, but also makes our app a lot faster, because there's not always, like if you have a large audio file that you need to process and that you first need to upload to the server and access, that oftentimes makes things a lot slower. So it's also like one of the feedback points we've gotten from a lot of our customers that did compare us to our competition. We're very easy to use, we're very fast, and we're privacy friendly, and we generate high quality content because we use GPT-4 instead of like cheaper large language models.
So it feels to me like you're taking the approach of making sure that the user experience is top notch, and you're differentiating yourself on user experience to say, this is going to be fast. This is also going to be thinking about the quality of the output so that the creator doesn't need to spend as much time tweaking that output and polishing it so that it is at the level that they can send it out. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, definitely. And I mean, like, to put things into perspective, I think there was like these comparisons between like GPT 3.5 having around like a 70 IQ and like GPT 4 having like 140 IQ. So there is really a like significant difference in like how well the content is written, how much it sounds like AI generated content or not. And we want to create long-term lasting relationships with our customers. We want to make sure that they're happy. So we're happy to lower the margins that we have, especially also because we're pretty sure like a lot of these costs will go down in the long term. But if we already make our customers happy now, then I think they will stay with us. That's just how we see the market and how we want to work together with our customers.
Excellent. So talk to me about growth and how you look at growing and making sustainable growth, because I'm assuming you're bootstrapped.
Yes. Yeah, we are fully bootstrapped. I'm filling in, I guess, like all the different roles that are not directly programming the product. So I'm also in charge of selling it. At the moment, we are like when we started out, we really focused on more B2C, so like smaller podcasts, people that like run a podcast by themselves or like with a team of two people or something like this. That's been great to really validate the product. And I think going forward, now we will like focus more and more on B2B, with the reasoning that I think as OpenAI and GPT Plus expand their offering, I think it will become just more and more difficult on that B2C level to really compete with ChatGPT, as there's like GPTs that like do something that is similar to what we do, and like a lot more services indirectly integrate into GPT Plus. But of course, as soon as we target B2B, like a lot of like the other advantages that we have, such as like privacy, like an easy way to collaborate between like team members, a lot of these things start to add more value, and I think it's also a bit more of a sustainable way to grow, just because B2B tends to have a bit lower churn rates. You don't need quite as many customers to really have significant or like a revenue that to grow your revenue. Funnily enough, like a lot of these B2B clients are also less demanding in terms of what they need, as long as your service is up and running and you've not oversold overpromised anything, then they tend to be quite happy with what they get.
And are you going after certain markets or certain languages?
I have the advantage, of course, or we have the advantage of being in Europe. The largest market for sure is the US, but I think that's also there is the most competition in the US market. So we will for sure partly go after the US market, but we're also going after the German-speaking market because I'm Austrian, so it's like just a lot easier for me to kind of know the ins and outs of that market, as well as like the Dutch and Belgian market, because Albert is Dutch and like will definitely have an advantage there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's why I was thinking that. And when it comes to, there's something that you said that I don't want to miss. I feel like you kind of glossed over it and now I'm having a hard time remembering exactly what it was. because I asked the other question, but it was a lot. I think there's another big point that I love asking people about when it comes to building businesses on top of AI, since it's almost like the API calls are cost of goods in a way. And so when you're thinking about pricing your product, are you doing it purely on consumption? Do you know that the consumption is going to be X amount from API calls? And so you can charge a markup on that, which is that delta of your product? Or are you looking at it as like a seat-based type thing? And depending on the amount of people that you have different pricing options, because that was... And coming back around to what I thought I forgot, but I didn't, I just remembered, is the ability to be able to collaborate with team members. And so looking at that and saying, okay, we're going to figure out a pricing here. Our B2B pricing is going to be X amount. How do you factor in? We're going to be needing to have API calls for the transcription and then API calls for OpenAI's GPT-4.
Yes. So, I mean, the way our pricing is set up, like everything kind of links to transcription minutes. Like the amount of content is directly related to how much, the amount of like GPT-4 usage is directly related to how many minutes you transcribe. So that's really like the way we set our pricing. And then maybe I think like one thing that holds true for more or less like all companies within this market is that I think as this is still so novel, people don't really do cost-based pricing. They have more of a, like a value-based pricing, I think. And that's probably something that will also change in the future as like the market becomes even more competitive. Because yeah, at the moment, I think like the highest costs are really customer acquisition costs. And then like a lot of the customers that we work with, they have seen these kind of services for the first time. So they don't really have like a reference point, or they don't have, haven't done a lot of comparison with like other services that are on the market, but they just see, hey, this saves me 5 hours per week. Awesome. My time is valued at X. So like I can definitely pay $30 per month for this. So that's how we approach pricing, and we'll also continue to approach pricing. That it will be linked directly to the transcription just because it's most transparent, it's super easy to understand. And I think the same thing also holds true for B2B. Like there is not really a lot of additional costs for adding like additional team members. The only real cost is like the API cost, so like the AI costs that we incur. And as long as we bake that into the contracts that we have, then That's just the easiest and most transparent.
So what have been some of the major hurdles that you've had to overcome while building Whisper Transcribe?
I think like one of the challenges was that like all three of us, like all three founders, were still working more or less full time on freelancing and other projects when we started this. And I think we could have been a lot faster to market if that would not have been the case. And I mean, as you mentioned, it is of course like a competitive market, and I think like first mover advantage is definitely a thing. So like that's been somewhat of a challenge for us. And I think like some of our competitors with products that are worse than what we offer have managed to like capture like a decent chunk of the market. Just because they were like a little bit faster than us. So that's been like one of the challenges, and of course also like juggling these two things at the same time. So like the freelancing and like at the same time starting this company. That's been one of the challenges we've been facing really. And outside of that, I think we've been quite lucky with having good partners, just like DeepCram. You guys have been like a pleasure to work with and quite easy to integrate. Been also quite lucky with a lot of like very nice customers that have been providing us with good feedback and let us really build the product with their needs in mind.
What have some of these main product features that people are asking for been?
Yeah, so it's one of the big features people requested was actually speaker recognition, so the diarization part. And that's also how we got to work with DeepGram, just because we're looking around on the market to look, okay, what kind of services offer this. And one of the, like, I think very cost effective and accurate services that does this is DeepGram. And yeah, it was, I think, quite simple to integrate, especially as we already had a lot of the front end to display everything. And like, I'm sure my co-founder Albert would disagree with some of the things I say, as of course, like, he has been struggling with most of it. But from what I heard, it was quite pleasant and easy to just add that one additional API key, change a couple of things. And yeah, of course, you guys were also quite supportive in setting everything up.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you as part of the startup program too. It's worth mentioning that you all joined the startup program and you've been rocking ever since. Well, even before you joined the startup program, I think you were rocking, but hopefully we just poured a bit of kerosene on the fire. And so you're able to hit escape velocity much easier. It's been a blast talking to you, Lauren. I appreciate you coming on here and sharing a little bit of this story with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. And I really enjoyed having our conversation and also using DeepGram and being part of the startup community. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.